Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Jim Colony postgame show right here until 1 o'clock at 412-928-9370. Bob Pompiani here in the hot seat, and to my left behind the glass is the esteemed Joel Nelson, who will be taking the ones and the twos and doing all the good work. He's very prepared. I came in here, everything's right in front of me, although he claims Jim helped a little bit, which that's nice combo effort, so I don't have to do as much. But it's nice to be with you on another beautiful sunny morning in Pittsburgh. It's cold, but it's not as cold as it's been the last couple of days. And by tomorrow, for game day of the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cleveland Browns, it should be beautiful. Temperatures in the 50s this time of the year, which is nice. It'll feel like 80 since we were into 20s. You know how that works. Anyway, I just want to remind you that our fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And our show is brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24-7 with Expressway at cochran.com. PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, and Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. If you're looking for a good golf simulator, by the way, it's cold. You want to do that? Go to 9 Yards Golf Lounge. It's in Washington. You may see them popping up elsewhere, too. It's a good place. Some outstanding technology at work for you. It's a good place to hang out with your friends. So check it out, 9 Yards Golf Lounge in Washington County. All right, we have a lot to get into today. And I know that everybody's going to want to talk about the Steelers, and rightfully so, because they are in the driver's seat in the AFC North, and they have a rematch with a team they should beat badly, I think. But I thought that the first time around. I just thought they were going to put that thing behind them where they just go to Cleveland on a Thursday night and lose. And that's exactly what they did. But I didn't see it. I thought they'd win easily that night just because of what was at stake. Well, the snow came. Things started to change. There were some calls that were made by the coaching staff that I didn't agree with. Turnovers. These kinds of things do affect games. However, in this case, I think odds makers are onto something. They know this is not going to be, it shouldn't be anyway, that close of a game at the end. They're pretty heavy favorites, 6.5 points over the Browns. Normally, this is a 3-point game, 3.5, whatever. It's up to 6.5, and with good reason. Although, there is a little kink in the situation here, and that would be that George Pickens, as of yesterday, went on the injury list with a questionable hamstring. Now, just so you know, for context purposes, the NFL has done away with the probable distinction there. They don't have that. It goes from, will play, questionable, doubtful. There's no probable. So based on that, you would expect that George Pickens, and I got to believe he's going to play. Now, he has an ongoing feud here, it looks like, with Greg Newsome And I don't know where that takes him. I hope George Pickens doesn't get distracted as he did in the first game where he took himself completely out of the final play of the game. But those are the things that are going to happen in that game. I guarantee you they're going to try to get under his skin. How he responds will play a big part in this. The other thing is that, you know, there were a lot of penalties called last week. And I'll say this about Joey Porter. His style of playing cornerback is a good one. He's on top of guys all the time. Now, some officials let you get away with it, just like, you know, holding calls just about every play. They're not going to call them all. So they won't call them all on Joey Porter, even though it seemed like they did last week in Cincinnati when he was involved with T. Higgins. So I would expect him to continue to not lose his confidence, play the same way he's playing, and let's see what kind of officiating crew we have here tomorrow. Because, again, he's been doing that pretty much all year. He gets away with it a lot, but he also makes plays a lot. And that's why I think he's got the right attitude to play that position. 412-928-9370 is the number to call here if you'd like to get in on this conversation. We'll talk about what you may expect in this game. We saw on Monday night that Cleveland threw the ball 58 times with Jameis Winston. And when you do that, you're going to get good and bad. The full Jameis experience was on display. 4 touchdown passes, almost 500 yards of passing. However, 2 pick sixes. Could have been 3 pick sixes. There were 3 interceptions, 2 return. If you add up all the yardage that Jameis Winston put together in the pass game, not just his, but what he gave to them in terms of 2 pick sixes, you have almost 700 yards of passing. I don't know if they're going to throw the ball 58 times. I know one thing, they have not gone to Nick Chubb all that much. I don't know if he's still, you know, not 100% based on the surgery he had last year. I give him a lot of credit for coming back and doing all the rehab that he had to do that. But at the same time, I think they're not relying on him. Ford is a guy that they seem to, you know, at least share the wealth with. They have 2 pretty good running backs. I don't think they're still in the Steelers category when it comes to running backs by committee who I'd rather have. I still think Harris and Warren, along with Patterson, are a pretty good threesome back there. You know, they have some pretty good wide receivers. We saw Jerry Jeudy. I put up an unbelievable number. Most yards ever in the pass game against a team. It happened to be his former team. 235 on 9 catches. There were big plays all over the place. Cleveland say this. They have nothing to lose. They would get great gratification out of upsetting the Steelers and beating them twice in the same year for what would be the first time in like 32 years for that to happen. That's what they're going to play with. And the other thing you got to look at is, too, the battle between, even though they're not on the field at the same time, T.J. Watt versus Myles Garrett, who dominated that first game. There's no question about it. But it's encouraging to see what Dan Moore did the following week when he went to Cincinnati and he shut down Trey Hendrickson. They didn't have a whole bunch of help at times with him, but he did a pretty good job. So he bounced back, which is a good sign. And we'll see what Myles Garrett does this time, knowing that the Steelers should scheme up some help over there. And conversely, T.J. Watt, who was relatively silent in that game in Cleveland, what he's going to do, because if you know anything about his competitive fires, you know that he's going to want to make a little bit of a statement himself in this game. We have the game for you on KDK-TV. Want to remind you about some other programming notes concerning our television station. Tonight at 8 p.m., we will have Penn State and Oregon. That's going to be the big one in the Big Ten, the championship game, which has been met with a lot of controversy. A lot of people think sometimes it's not in your best interest as a team, given the 12-team expanded playoff, to have a championship game. What do you think about that at 412-928-9370? In this case, you get an opportunity to get a first-round bye, so there is plenty to play for, not to mention the bragging rights of beating Oregon and knocking them out of their perch as number one seed, potentially. We'll get into those college games coming up, but we'll have that game tonight at 8 on KDKA. We're also going to have, and I can't say it enough, we get calls all the time. The Christmas Day game will be on our station at KDKA. We purchased the rights of that one, so you don't have to go to Netflix to watch it if you're in the Pittsburgh DMA. So that's good. You'll have that, and we'll be working all day on Christmas Day. That's the one thing that I'm glad there's a big game, but at the same time, because it's Kansas City in time, I wish it wasn't on Christmas Day. But the NFL's there to make money, and they're going to make as much money as they can. 412-928-9370. We'll get into the Steelers and your breakdown. What do you think will happen tomorrow? Who do you think will be important for the Steelers? Corey Trice is back. Steelers sometimes use 6-7 defensive backs. That's a way, especially against a guy like Winston, if their front four can get pressure on him without the benefit of a blitz, that makes it very difficult on a quarterback to throw into all that congestion in the defensive backfield. So we'll see what that means. It could be over and under in turnovers, a lot of them in this game, and that's what the Steelers would like to have. We'll talk about that, George Pickens and others. I also want to throw this out because watching the Amazon Prime game, the Detroit Lions are now 12-1. They won a very, very good and entertaining game against Green Bay 34-31. But in that game, Dan Campbell went for four fourth down conversions, four of them. And the last one, to me, he's getting praise for because the situation was a tie game. He's already in field goal position, but it was fourth and short, and he wanted to go for it so as not to give the ball back to Green Bay. But, again, they're already in field goal position. If they stop you, now you get nothing, and you have to go to overtime most likely, or you're going to give them the ball with a little bit of time left. He wanted to not give them the ball. They executed. They got the first down. I still think that's a bad call to make. I do not like that call at all. I think it's too risky in that department. He's going to get praised for it. He's aggressive. Is he too aggressive? Let me know what you think at 412-928-9370. Bill Belichick may be in the game again, but maybe not in the NFL, which I still doubt because I think he has earmarked a chance to beat Don Shula's all-time record. For that to happen, he has to be an NFL head coach. Bill Belichick is interviewing and talked to North Carolina. Remember, there was a rumor out there that Arthur Smith, actually it wasn't, there was contact. Arthur Smith said so. We'll see where that goes. But Bill Belichick wants to bring back a lot of his staff members that he had in New England. Plus, he wants a plan in place so that his son Steve takes over when he's done as head coach of North Carolina. I don't know. That may be a lot to ask. And I don't know how Bill Belichick would do dealing with the recruiting aspects of all of this and what's changed and NIL and all that stuff. Plus, he's on TV now. And if it's anything like Bill Cowher, maybe he likes it a lot. Maybe he doesn't want to do that. We'll see. Arthur Smith, dark horse candidate to become the Jets head coach. That was, if you go back and you look at interviews that were done prior to their last opening when Robert Saleh got the job, it was Arthur Smith who was in discussions with them. Because Saleh got it, he ended up taking the job in Atlanta. At the time, he was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee when he had one of the best running backs in the game in Henry. So things were going well there, got an opportunity as a head coach, but it was in Atlanta, not with the Jets. Could it be that this time he would go back there? We'll see. 412-928-9370. And the Penguins tonight, after a dismal effort last night in MSG against a team that just traded their captain in Jacob Trouba, they lose. And to me, they weren't all that competitive in that game. 4-2 was the score. So the Penguins now, we're at 11-13-4, I believe their record is 26 points. Take on tonight a team that I think really is a Stanley Cup contender. Kyle Dubas' former team, Toronto's in town. 34 points at 16-8-2. And they got some big-time players. You know about Mitch Marner. You know about William Nylander, who has 16 goals. Their best player is still not in the lineup. He's been injured, and they're doing this without him. And so I think if you look at the reason they've done it so far is the one reason that Kyle Dubas probably lost his job in Toronto, the goaltending. Joseph Woll has been terrific at a .922 save percentage, and Anthony Stolarz with a .924 save percentage. Both guys have been very good. The one thing that was a stumbling block for Dubas in Toronto was goaltending consistency. So those two guys have given them a lot in Toronto, and we'll see what that game holds tonight. But it's a back-to-back game. It's not going to be an easy one for the Penguins, who lost last night 4-2. All right, 412-928-9370. Let's go to a couple calls here before we take a break here. Joel, let's start with Bill in Uniontown. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Yes, I would like to talk about Russell Wilson. Didn't he sign for a one-year contract, like?
Yeah, it's the last year of what he had in Denver, which they're paying 99% of it, and the Steelers are paying like $1 million. They're paying $40 million or whatever it is. So, yes, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this year, which leads to an interesting discussion about what his future holds and what he would want. All right, Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's go to Martin, also from Uniontown. We've got a bunch of Raiders coming on here. What's up?
Hi, Bob. Hey, Bob, I tell you what. I look for the Steelers tomorrow to really beat down the Cleveland Browns tomorrow.
Yeah, they should, but that doesn't mean it's going to work that way. I thought that the first time around. I know a lot of people didn't, but Martin, I thought they were going to come out and put that to rest and do it in Cleveland, but they didn't. The last thing you want to have is them to lose to Cleveland in the same year and then try to convince people that they're a Super Bowl contender. Doesn't help.
I hope they win tomorrow. But I'm glad they won in Cincinnati. Now, I didn't think that game was going to be a high-scoring game, but kind of surprised me a little bit.
No, no, no. Thank you, Martin, for the call. That's not the case at all. It was going to be high scoring because Joe Burrow scores no matter what. It was a matter of they – and that, to me, was the biggest takeaway from that game, that they had an opportunity to match Joe Burrow, and they did. They had response drives, very outstanding in what they did there. Every time they had to make them – and the first play, you know, first score of the game was a pick six, goes the other way. Cam Taylor-Britt steps in front of a falling George Pickens. A lot of people thought there should have been interference, including Gene Steratore. I guess that's the case, or at least hands to the face, whatever the case. I think the fact that he was somewhat falling – encourage the official not to make that call. Whatever. The response was most important. They came right back and they scored after that 51-yard touchdown. And you might remember, it didn't take long. They had a couple of third-down conversions before it was Russell Wilson to George Pickens, a 17-yard score. So they immediately did that. Joe Burrow came right back. They moved down the field. Chase Brown had a 40-yard big hookup, a run, led to a Brown touchdown, 14-7 they led. Immediately comes back Russell Wilson on a 10-play, 70-yard drive. 23-yard touchdown over the middle to Calvin Austin. Same play they did in Cleveland the week before. And then it again goes the other way. Burrow to Chase, 4-yard score. That's after Joey Porter was called for two penalties on the same play, I believe. That was the drive. 9 plays, 70 yards, 21-14, but they immediately answered that. It went back and forth. No punter was needed. 5 plays, 68 yards. Harris touchdown. That was after we saw a couple of big plays, including a face mask that was called against Najee Harris. I mean, they ripped around his helmet. That gave them an opportunity to move the ball down. And then there was a roughing penalty, whatever the case. My point is the Steelers responded, and that's when the defense finally stuck up right before halftime, and a strip sack by T.J. Watt led to the game-leading points at that point. So good. That was, to me, the biggest development of the game. If your defense can be on the field or on the bench a lot, you give them some rest, and your offense can put together drives and score in the red zone, which was a problem, but not last week. You have a good thing going. 412-928-9370. The caller brought up Russell Wilson. What do you think about Russell Wilson in terms of what happens after this year? He just turned 36. He'll be 37 during the season next year. Does he want to stay? It's a good fit. How much will it take to keep him to stay? And what do you do with Justin Fields? If that situation, they're going to be ongoing because they're both at the end of contracts. What do you do if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? 412-928-9370. You know it's a big game when Jim Nance, Tony Romo, coming into town for this one. Tracy Wolfson's going to be on the sidelines. It's a big game, and the Steelers got to take advantage of it. At home, 1 o'clock, it's also Hall of Honor weekend for the Steelers. Some great guys going into that Hall of Honor. Big dinner coming up tonight. I saw Casey Hampton the other night. And by the way, happy birthday to my broadcast partner, Charlie Batch, 50 years young. Looks much better than that, but 50 hits you quick. And then before too long, you'll be at 60. So enjoy those days, Charlie. But Casey, you look great. He'll be there getting part of the honor here tonight. 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompiani Show. We're live sports radio, 93.7 The Fan. Well, welcome back as we continue to roll along on this beautiful Saturday morning. Bob Pompiani with you till 1 o'clock. Joel Nelson is behind the glass for you, so call 412-928-9370. If you'd rather go to Twitter, it's at KD Pomp, X Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I still call it Twitter, just because that's how I know it. So make sure you call or tweet and let us know what you think about all the items of the day. Our show is brought to you, as I said before, by number one Cochrane. If you're looking for a great vehicle at a great time of year with some great incentives, this is the time to go to number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, check out their virtual wallet, PNCBank.com. Also, Ireland Contracting, great roofing company, and they are the title sponsor of the nightly sports call. You get here on KDK Plus as well as here. And Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. Those guys, you know them. They got your back, not your wallet, and you'll see their faces on the dasherboards tonight at the hockey game, I'm sure. Every now and then, I told those guys, sooner or later, someone's going to hit you right in the forehead with one of those pucks, and you got to show it. Next commercial ad, come up with a bunch of, like, a Jerry Cheever's face mask where you had got hit all the time based on where your location is on those boards. And the Penguins will be in action tonight, as I said, against Toronto. And that is going to be a tough game. There's no question about that. Auston Matthews is not even back with them. He is a sniper of all snipers, but they have guys who can hit in many different ways. Their goaltending has been better than ever. And the Penguins are now just, you know, they had a four-game win streak. They needed it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They had a chance last night to move ahead of the Rangers. They could not do that because the Rangers won on a day they trade Jacob Trouba, their captain. They also sign Igor Shesterkin to an 8-year, $92 million contract. They've been haggling about that. So there were plenty of distractions in play, and you thought maybe the Penguins would go in there and get a 5-game win streak. And a guy like Philip Tomasino, the newcomer, has been outstanding since he arrived here. They need to get more production from a lot of other players in there. And we'll see what happens tonight against a very good hockey team, one I think that is capable of winning a Stanley Cup. And man, can you imagine the reaction of Toronto fans if they should do that? 412-928-9370 is the number, talking about the Steelers, talking about the Cleveland Browns, and also talking about the Ravens, who have a week off. Then they have the Giants. You know, the Ravens lost a tough game last week, and that was a game I thought they needed to win, but the Eagles went in there and ran Saquon Barkley pretty much down their throats, and that's exactly what the Steelers will have in store for them after this game, is a trip to Philadelphia to take on that team. And they're playing at a very, very high level. And who knows, maybe Pickett will get into the game if there's an injury. That would be interesting to see for sure. But the Steelers got to take care of business first. Can't look ahead. They got three really demanding games coming up after this one with Philadelphia, Baltimore, and then Kansas City, of course. All of those in a 10-day span. So we'll see what they do in it, but it's all in front of them. The Steelers have an opportunity to win the AFC North and get an opportunity to get a first-round home playoff game if they don't get the number one seed. Can they get the number one seed? Sure. Kansas City is a team that has just been doing with smoke and mirrors. I give them a lot of credit. They can win football games. They know how to win football games. Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, terrific at what they do. But they don't have the same offense as they've had in previous years. They still have a very good defense. So can they lose a couple of games? That game on Christmas Day may determine who gets a number one seed in the AFC. And remember, there's only one bye. It used to be two, now just one. So that could be one of the bigger games in the history of the Steelers at Acrisure Stadium, and it'll be on KDKA, so no buffering. I'm going to keep telling you that until I stop getting calls and asks. No buffering. It'll be there for you on KDKA-TV. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I want to give a big shout-out to the Pitt volleyball team. They won again last night, straight sets. I asked Joe the other day, how many sets will they lose en route to a national championship? I firmly believe they're going to win a national championship, and they got some tougher matches. Obviously, they get to the Final Four like they've been to, but they don't lose sets, and they get another one tonight, back-to-back matchups over at the Peterson Event Center, so we'll see what happens tonight as they take, I believe it's Oklahoma, after they won last night against Morehead State. So 412-928-9370 is that number to call. I want to get your thoughts about Dan Campbell. I want to get your thoughts about what you think his aggressive nature. It cost them a chance to get, I think, to the Super Bowl last year when he went crazy on fourth down, and he hasn't changed his stripes that way. The other night against Green Bay in a significant game in a very talented NFC North, Dan Campbell went for it on fourth down four different times, the last of which was the most controversial to me, and one that I can talk about quite a bit, I think, and I think we should. Fourth down, already in field goal range, set the stage for it. It's 31-31. They're at like the 21-yard line. They have an opportunity to kick a field goal and win. It's fourth down. He chose not to kick the field goal on fourth down. He decided instead he wanted to get a first down so Green Bay never touched the ball. And that's fine. It worked, except if it didn't. You know, we oftentimes sit here and debate calls, whether or not they're good or bad, and the ultimate decision will be if it worked. If it works, it's great. Like that the fake punt we did earlier this year for the Steelers when they had an opportunity, and it was James Pierre who was right there. It was, the whole plan was terrific in that no one thought it was coming. It was executed exactly right. Killebrew with a throw, but Pierre drops the ball. All right, so you blame that on a bad coaching call? It could have worked. It should have worked. But given where it was, people will say, well, it was at your own 15-yard line, very deep in your own territory. That was the beauty of the call. The beauty of the call was no one expected it. For those things to work, you got to have nobody expects that call to be made. And it was made, and it was beautiful until he dropped the ball. If he didn't, first down, they keep going. You're talking about that call forever. Same thing with this call. But I will go the other way. I think it was a bad call. I would take the points at that juncture just to know that I would trust my defense. I put the onus on Green Bay to come back with very few seconds left to try to tie the game with a field goal, knowing that I have that in my hip pocket. They're going to need a touchdown to win. If not, we're going to overtime, even if they do kick a field goal. But he gambled. He won the gamble. They ended up kicking the field goal, and they win the game. Do you like that? Do you want that sort of aggressive attitude here from Mike Tomlin and company if they get in similar situations, or are you waiting for it not to work, and so you call and say that's a terrible decision? 412-928-9370. Jay in the north side joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Jay, what's up?
Bob, how you doing this morning? Good to hear you.
You too.
Two takes, on one on George Pickens and one on Joey Porter. Both, to me, extremely talented players, but both are very selfish. I say that because Pickens seems to worry about himself more than the team. And an example is that very first play of the game when he was knocked down, but he was going down as well. But his first thought was to sit there on the field and look for an official to throw a flag. His first move would have been a Hines Ward move, which was to jump off the ground and try to tackle the guy that made the interception. So I find it hard that he's going to change anytime soon. He just seems to be a very selfish player. And my take on Joey Porter is kind of the same, very talented. But when he's finding out that his style is not working, his response is, that's my way of playing, and I'm going to stick with it. So
I don't think that's selfish. I will disagree with you on Joey Porter. I don't think he's a selfish player at all. I think he wants this team to win. He plays an aggressive style in a game where they prefer offense. It's tough to be a defensive player. We saw the hit on Trevor Lawrence last week. There are those who blame the quarterback, Tom Brady, one of them. It makes it difficult to play defense. Now, I don't agree with Tom Brady. I think that was a hit that deserved a suspension. But my point is, every rule in the book is designed to help the offense. If you're a defensive back, you have to engage people at some times. There's going to be contact. He does get grabby. I'll grant you that. And there's some officials let it go. Others won't. Last week, the guy wouldn't let it go. There were too many penalties. I get it. But I don't think he's a selfish player at all.
Well, put it in the sense that he does not want to change the way he does.
And he shouldn't. I wouldn't want him to change. I just want him to be a little bit more technically sound, but I'm not going to have him lose his aggressiveness. Do you want him to do that?
No, you can't do that job,
in other words, Jade, thinking about, I'm going to be called for a penalty. If you do that, you may as well get out of it. You got to have a short memory. You got to just be aggressive and do what you got to do. Now, does he have to be less handsy? Sure, because they're going to call that from time to time. Not as many times as they called it last week, I thought, but so.
Right.
As far as Pickens, though, I think you're right. I think he needs to adjust. I think Mike Tomlin has said it, just grow up here. You know, you're 3 years into this. And he engages in a lot of things to the point that, of all the things that have happened, you know, the penalties whatsoever, I thought the worst thing was that he took himself completely out of that play at the end of the game in Cleveland. He was not interested in trying to figure out where the ball was or his role in that play, it looked like to me.
Right.
But
the only last thing I just want to throw in was I really think the Steelers – should keep Najee. I would love to see him stick around, you know, for a reasonable price. He's everything they want in a player. He doesn't fumble. He's a hard worker, and I'd like to see him at least for another year.
Well, it's up to them. They chose not to, and you know, the fifth-year option was not that expensive. I believe it was under $7 million. What it would take this year, you see some of the guys who've signed in the offseason. Henry got $8 million. It's going to be between $8 and $10 million, I guess, in that range, and you know, they're going to have to deal with Jaylen Warren as well. But a more pressing need will be the quarterback. I think the first thing that has to be decided is what they do with their quarterbacks. And if those quarterbacks are willing to stay here or move on. So we'll see how that goes. Agreed. Jay, thank you. I appreciate the call. Good stuff. Let's go to Brian in Brookline, and Brian is on the fan right now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Bob. A couple things. I'll go quickly. I don't know if we should keep George Pickens. I know he's got immense talent, but, Bob, this is just – he's showing us. Like, he's already chatting about Newsom right now, going at it. Like, I mean, and you know Newsom's going to get in his head on Sunday, and who knows what's going to happen. And I think we better just cut bait after the year. I think we could find another receiver. That's my feeling on him. Joey Porter. I don't have a problem with Joey Porter. I think Joey Porter plays. I think he just has to clean up his hands. They don't call that way in college, and I think he has to adjust again. And maybe Ike Taylor could work with him some more. And I'm all right with Joey Porter. And last thing is Mike Tomlin, his calls. I think Arthur Smith has helped Mike, like with his calls this year. Like, I think it's like different with him than Canada. I just got a different vibe when he's in a building versus Matt Canada for 2 years. What say you, Bob?
No, I think you're right. I think that's why you hired him. You know, I think you've seen in play some different kinds of plays. I haven't seen a jet sweep. I don't even know when the last time I saw a jet sweep. Was his Mets Canada? No, that was his signature call. I wouldn't be surprised down the road if we do see one, just to throw it in there, just because I don't think people are looking for it. So I think he's done a very good job. I think he's probably short term here. I think he wants to get back into the head coaching game. Who knows if there's going to be opportunities out there or not. But yeah, I think it's made a big difference. And I think also having Russell Wilson around, his experience and his knowledge of certain things comes into play. He's protecting the football. He knows when to get rid of it, when not to. Now, does he sometimes take unnecessary sacks or sacks that maybe you don't want to see? Yes. But I think overall, he's put together a pretty good down-the-field kind of throw. When he throws it down the field, he puts it on the money. He's one of the most successful guys that way. He's very good at checking down, sometimes too much in my view. I'm glad to see they've attacked the middle of the field. I don't know if that's him or them, or if it's his decision not to go there, or is it coaching staff deciding not to go there. But two games in a row, we see Calvin Austin middle of the field. Which is good. That's what you want
Bob,
to see.
I have just a spinoff thing. So, Minka, I'm not concerned with Minka. I'm really not. I mean, everybody thinks he's slowed down. He's not making splash plays. Could it be that the way they are deploying him, they don't want to get beat over the top on a one-trick pony, and he's preventing that? Could that be the case, Bob?
Yeah, certainly. It's a strategic choice, I guess, they're making. And, yeah, that could be the case. But there are a couple of times where he's put himself in – the wrong angle to get guys, and they've ended up being touchdowns. But yeah, I think, you know, we live, you know how this works, Brian. We live in a stats-oriented metric world. Everyone's looking at the big plays. That's how you determine whether a guy's good or bad. Not necessarily. If he's being asked to do something different, I'll look at a metric that I did last week, and I see the teams generally don't throw over the middle of the field as much as they've used to. Against the Steelers. And I got to believe it's because, you know, do you remember when Mike Tomlin said about Jesse Bates in Atlanta? He roams the middle of the field. And so they chose not to even throw there. Sometimes I think that's a mistake, but they did it out of respect to him. I think the same thing holds true for Minka Fitzpatrick. But having said that, I would love to see him do something, put him in a position where he's out of the blue doing something you didn't expect and see what he can turn into in terms of an interception. Yeah, and an interception or a fumble recovery in a couple of years. But thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. We got to go to a break. Hey, James in the South Hills, hang on. We'll get to you. I know you have a baseball question. And did you see, by the way, Joel, that the Oakland A's just gave a $67 million contract to Luis Severino?
Yeah, isn't that something?
Oakland can do that, but the Pirates can't? Come on now.
It's really weird.
It is weird. We got to take a break. Want to remind you once again, number one, Cochran's your place to go. Shop 24/7 with expressway@cochran.com. Also, PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting. Home of the nightly sports call. We continue. Bob Pompiani, Joel Nelson behind the glass, and you right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are back with more as we roll along here. Brought to you by number one Cochran Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and, of course, PNC Bank, where they got the best virtual wallet going. If you need something to help your finances, check out PNC.com. All right, let's go out to James in the South Hills. He's been waiting quite a bit. Hello, James. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just want to tell you real quick before I get to my question. I've been listening to you since you came on the air in KDKA. back in, what, 83, I think it was.
Oh, man, thank you.
And you are absolutely just, well, you're a gem. You're a wonderful human being, and you've meant a lot to me over the years. So I just want you to know that.
Thank you, James. That's really, I can't tell you what that means to me when I hear stuff like that. Thanks.
Yeah, I actually met you one time. You'd only been on the air for maybe a year or two, and I was in downtown for something, and I saw you. I said, hey, you're Bob Pompiani. You said, yes, I am. But anyway, you know, I've never been able to get an answer to this question about baseball, and maybe you could help me out. If the, you know how when the bases are loaded in the bottom of the ninth, and mm-hmm. the runners are always going to be going no matter what?
Yes.
How come the pitcher never throws to first base or tries a pickoff move when he knows the runners are going to be going? Is he not allowed to?
Well, it depends on how many you've thrown over there. They have a limit on that now. So
no, I mean like throughout baseball history,
okay.
I
mean, you could do that, but I think they're schooled into watching your footwork, so they won't do it until you make the move home. You know, I mean, that's the only explanation I can have. But you're right. Sometimes you wonder if you can maybe lull them into something that is not going to happen, vis-a-vis there's no pitch, and I'm going to instead throw to first base.
Yeah, because you know, the pitcher, I mean, the announcers, everyone in the stadium knows that the runners are going to be going with it. If it's a 3-2 count and there's two outs, and the runners are going to be going, you know, wind up the merry-go-round one more time if it's a foul ball, you know. So just like if the pitcher knows for sure, you'd think he'd have an advantage to throw a pickoff move, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would too, but I don't remember ever seeing that.
There's no rule against it, right?
I don't think so. I would have to check on that, James.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone ever do that before. I always wonder why I've never seen it in all the years of watching. I'm 57 years old. So.
On the topic of the baseball, let me real quick, do you like that idea of the golden at-bat?
You know what? I didn't really get really a chance to really analyze it. I mean, it's ridiculous on, you know, at first think it's kind of ridiculous when you first think about it, but maybe they tried it for 1 year, see how it went, and if it was a total joke, then just get rid of it. But, you know, I didn't think I'd like the pitch clock either, and I kind of like it now, so.
Well, that's a little different. I mean, that's all that's doing is making people be more observant of time just to get it. I think that.
Right.
And I saw it in the minors, so I had a feeling we'd see it, and it's been fine.
Well,
this is a
I'd
more gimmicky situation. That's why I don't like it.
Well, I'd rather see the automatic strike zone come in.
I think you
I'd
will.
I'd rather see – I mean, tennis uses it for fouls and in and out, doesn't it? So, I mean, why can't baseball use it?
They could. They could do whatever they want to do if that's the case. Yes, I do. But more importantly, and we'll never see this, and it's a shame, all the things they talk about, how about a salary cap and a salary floor?
Well, that's obvious. They're there.
It's obvious, but they don't do it because they're still stuck with this. Did you see the list of deferred money the L.A. Dodgers are giving? 12 guys. It's over $1 billion in deferred payments. It's bad enough that they have the local television. That's the other thing. It's very much different than what you have here in Pittsburgh or some of the smaller areas. Here's the thing. That's a big advantage for them. It could cover their entire payroll. It's bad enough they sign guys, but now to defer all the money, it's a shrewd move, I think. It just spreads it all out.
It'll never hurt them. They'll recover from that. It won't cripple them financially.
No, it never will because there's no cap. No. You can do whatever you want.
Bingo.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you, James. All right, Joel, before you go, I know you're leaving here. I have to ask this question now because I haven't had it in a while. On line two is somebody named Will in Wilmerding. Now, that sounds to me like it's an awfully fishy guy. But again, I do not talk to these people. You do. Am I right? Is it fishy or am I wrong? It's legit.
I think it's a little fishy, Bob.
You do?
I do think it's a little
fishy. All right, having said that stage, I'm not afraid to go out there and find out if it's, hey, Bob, Will and Wilmerding, you're on.
Hey, Bob. Does Anthony Tyler Palco could replace Justin Field?
Joe, don't you have enough of me during the week?
guess who I just met, Bob?
Who?
Kenny from Oakmont. He was over at the RMU Dome hitting golf balls. I introduced myself. I said, can we do a show from the practice range? Or I said, from the golf shop during the Open. He said, from the practice range. We're in, Bob.
Does Denny have the kind of say that can usurp that from the USGA?
I don't know. Kenny. Isn't that his name? Kenny?
Oh, Kenny. Pro? I thought you said Denny. No.
No, Kenny.
Kenny's not the pro.
Is it Kevin?
No. Who are you talking to?
I don't know. Some guy from response that I just saw at Moon. He was giving lessons.
That's Kevin Shields.
Yeah, Kevin Shields.
No, he's at Neverwood.
What?
Hey, Joe.
Then why did he say?
I don't know. Kevin's a great player, by the way, on the local Tri-State PGA Tour. Very good teacher, too.
Oh, my God. Great.
In fact, my neighbor, yeah. Buck, heard him, and he's improved his game as a result. Are you trying to get lessons from Kevin?
No, I get those from Eddie Vittmeyer, who used to be.
Also very good.
Yes.
No, he's not there. Devin is
right,
Devin, not Kevin, is the head pro at Oakmont. But again, you'd have to go through the USGA, and I plan to do that, Will and Wilmerding. I will.
Well, I'm sure he can help us make it happen, Bob. What's your prediction on the game tomorrow?
A 31-10 route. Steelers win easily, I think. But I thought that the first time, Joe, as you know. I mean, it has to be that way, doesn't it? You can't afford to lose to this team twice.
I know. Now I'm depressed. Goodbye, Bob. Thank you. I'll see you Monday.
Hit him well, Joe. I put out a little Instagram feed for you in case you want to take a look. It's all about professional guys shanking balls. It can happen to any one of us.
Some more than others.
Some more
Thank
than
you,
others.
Bob.
All right. See you on Monday, Joe. That's Will and Wilmerding. Thank you, Joel, for at least you had an idea that was suspicious. So
the Will and Wilmerding part, and then I looked at the last four digits of the phone number, and that's when
it
was
rang
Joe
a bell,
Starkey.
Huh? Okay. See, Joe's out there hitting golf balls, making erroneous comments that we're going to have a show at Oakmont. He is talking. Come on, he's a savvy old news hound. What's he doing? He got the wrong information there. 412-928-9370. Thank you again to number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, Shendorovich and Fishman, and Ireland Contracting. Make sure you check them all out. Great sponsors of the program, and I certainly appreciate that over the years. PNC Bank, check out the virtual wallet. I can't tell you enough how much more effervescent it is to go to a checking account. Is that the wrong word? But for me, it is, because I love it. I go in there and everything's just laid out for me. I don't have to worry about my own math, trying to subtract, add, did I make a payment, didn't I? It's all there right for you at virtualwallet.com. And now let's try to look at the weather here, if I could find it. All right, as you know, it's Fan Weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevy. Check out 0% financing on all 24 Chevy EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd. Today, mix of clouds, but the temperature is going to be rising up to 37 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, and not a bad low of 34. And then tomorrow, temperatures will approach 50 degrees for kickoff of the Steelers and the Browns. You'll see it on KDKA-TV. Our coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. with the BetMGM Steelers kickoff. Afterwards, we got 2 hours for you on KDK, I do believe, the mothership. That's coming up with Chris Hoke and I from 4 to 6 after the Steelers and the Browns. We'll take a break. Come back with more of your phone calls up until 1 o'clock. 412-928-9370. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7. All right, welcome back as we continue with hour number two of the program on this beautiful Saturday. Bob Pompeiani with you until 1 o'clock today. Seth, my man, is behind Joel left. Seth is in. He'll be here throughout the rest of this show. I want to remind you about our sponsors. Number one Cochran, go one better. Shop 24/7, ride in style with Expressway at Cochran.com. Also, PNC Bank, make today the day at PNC. Shendorovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call on KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan on most nights. Our fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.com. All right, we talked about, I didn't get any reaction. I want to find out if there's any reaction to Dan Campbell on his fourth down calls. Call 412-928-9370. He's very aggressive, to the point where I thought it was a little bit much. 31-31 game on Thursday night against Green Bay. They're in field goal territory already at the 21-yard line. They got a fourth down and short. He decides he's going to go for it so that Green Bay would never touch the ball again. Well, what happens if he doesn't make it? And Green Bay does touch the ball again, and now all they need is a field goal to win, and they have a few seconds to move down the field, and it doesn't take much to get in field goal range. That's one I would have taken a kick when I had it, and I would have made them try to do the same with the limited time left. But he decided to go for it. I thought that was much, and I don't necessarily consider that a smart call. I would not have done it, but he got away with it, and he's an aggressive guy. I don't deny him that. They're 12-1, and he brings a lot to that. So bottom line is they're 12-1, and I'm not going to argue with 12-1, although if that's the call that I have to make, I'm taking the field goal when I have a chance on a fourth down. We're also talking about Steelers and Browns. You saw Hard Knocks episode number one. Mike Tomlin highly featured in that. Although they did not tackle, and I expect this with Hard Knocks, unless it's become not as Hard Knocks, to get some of the controversial stuff that goes on in these situations. And there are a lot of controversial stuff. They have mics everywhere. And I realize the teams do have final say a lot of times in what they can put on and what they can't put on. But you also have to tell certain stories, and they may not be the most encouraging stories from a point of view of a team. But you know, when George Pickens gets into it a little bit in those games, when you see some of the calls against him, that's a big part of what happens in those games. I'd like to hear what that's like. But I also understand, too, that they have some things to protect. Like, for example, officials. There's a lot of byplay and things that are said there that I don't think the league as a whole doesn't want anyone to hear with regard to some of the conversations between a coach and some of the officials in the game, especially if there are calls that are wrong, replay assist gets involved, and those sorts of things. So, I don't know. It's a good entertainment show. They have access, a lot of it. There's a lot of editing. I have nothing but respect for people who do this. You will have no idea how much work goes into putting those shows together, especially this is a new voyage here for them into a complete division, the AFC North. Now, two teams are going to be not as interesting, Cincinnati and Cleveland, because they're not involved, although they could be spoilers here, so I think that's always interesting to hear. But your thoughts at 412-928-9370. Bill Belichick being named, or mentioned, I should say, as North Carolina coach, potentially not named, but he's had many meetings with them, and to me, it doesn't add up. I think he's an NFL coach. I think he's close to Don Shula's record. He's 72 years old. Why would you want to go through all the rigmarole of a college football team with NIL and transfer portals left and right? Arthur Smith is a dark horse, according to the New York Post, of the Jets candidate job. He was involved with discussions with the Jets before they hired Robert Saleh. And then he ended up taking a job in Atlanta because Saleh got the job with the Jets. So we'll see. Big day of college football. I want to run these down real quick before I get back to our phone calls. And there's a lot of stuff going on. First, I should tell you that the Penn State-Oregon game, the Big Ten Championship, will be played in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, and you'll see it on KDKA. We have that game for you at 8 o'clock tonight. Some of the other games, you got Georgia and Texas at 4 o'clock today. That is the Big 12 Championship. Georgia really needs to win this thing. Texas is number 2 in the rankings. Texas is favored by 3.5. You also have Clemson SMU. Now, this is going to be the one-and-done situation for the ACC, I believe. One of these teams is going to get in, one won't. SMU is ranked higher. I expect them to win. They're favored by 2.5, but Clemson has been there, done that. Can they do it again and get a chance to be in this 12-team tournament? Then, of course, Penn State, Oregon coming at you at 8 o'clock, a full weekend of games, and we'll find out what the final pairings will look like. And some of the games are going to be 4 teams with byes, and then you're going to have a bunch of first-round games on sites of teams in their backyard until you move after that first round. All right, lots of stuff going on, not the least of which is Penguins and Leafs tonight. Toronto's a Stanley Cup champion team. I think they're contenders, very much so. They're 16-8-2. They're played a lot without Austin Matthews, their biggest sniper, but they have big guys coming up. Their goaltending has been better than I think most people thought, which has been a bugaboo for Kyle Dubas when he was there. But they got it figured out, or at least they do now, with Joseph Woll and Anthony Stolarz. Both of those guys are playing at a very high level. Back to the lines. We got John, line one. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bob?
Oh, good. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead.
I would like to chime in on the Detroit Lions. I agree with you. I still think it was a bad call to go for that, simply because, if I'm not mistaken, the time before, they missed on fourth down, and they stopped them.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
always that risk, but I'm just saying the field position to me would have determined my decision, right? That's what I'm saying. So if they had elected
absolutely
to go for the
you
field goal, no
I
problem.
Think you have to take the points.
Right. They eventually got the field goal after they converted the fourth down. But my question is, what if they don't? There's enough time for Green Bay to get a response.
Because I think Green Bay they would have had enough time that they could have got into field goal position, and then you lose the game.
Yeah, but he did that last year in that San Francisco NFC game, the playoff game, and I think he hurt his own. It's good to have the mentality that I'm aggressive, I'm going to go for it. But also, when it comes to big moments like that, situational moments, I think you have to defer to the situation and say, I think the prudent move there is to take the points when I can. If I don't get it, I'm putting my team at risk to lose the game, one that we should have won.
Correct. I agree with you. But that was just my opinion, too. I felt the same as you, that it just strategically where they were at, I don't feel it was the right call, although they made it.
Yep. All right, John, thank you. Appreciate your input on that. Have a nice holiday. Let's go to Rick in Cranberry Township. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How are you today?
Good. What's up?
You know, I'm 50-50 on this call from the other night. I agree with you on the prudent situation and getting those points immediately. But, you know, Starkey gives him the name Kneecaps Campbell, and I think that, you know, To paraphrase Mike Tomlin, I don't believe Campbell lives in his fears, and I think that.
How would you have been though at a fan, Rick, if that happens? You want them to kick the field goal because they have a chance, and they don't get the fourth down. I mean, I get it. I mean, you're going to have response one way or the other here, but it just seems like the prudent way to play. Chuck Noll always used to say, and I go back to his time when he said, "When you're in that position, you take the points, and then you just play the game out after that, based on your defense." And
Yep. But let's look across the league at how many in the last few weeks, how many field goals have been missed by kickers that are pretty reliable kickers, aside from Justin Tuck. But, I mean, you know, Boswell got that kick blocked last week. I can't even remember a time in my mind when he had a kick blocked. And I think it might also serve for down the road towards the playoffs when people start questioning, he put somebody out there for a field goal. Is he really going to be going for a first down? That's all.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating though. That's why we have these kind of shows so people can talk both ways. And you know, ultimately, when you make a call, if it works, it's a good call. If it doesn't, it's a bad call. I get that, but I don't know. That was one of those. I thought it was an automatic choice for me, but he made it and he won, and he's 12-1. Not much you can say about that. They're still a very good team, and they're going to be the team to beat with home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That's. I'll tell you what, though, that division is a tough division. Minnesota's really good. I'm surprised that Darnold has been able to do what he's done, and I wonder about Justin Fields at the end of this year. If they determine to go to Russell Wilson, and you know, in some sort of contract that he accepts in his year. What happens to Justin Fields? He's not going to want to sit around and just become a gimmick guy.
Oh, absolutely
right?
not.
He's going to look for an opportunity.
He'll be going somewhere.
Would you prefer that? Would you prefer that, or let you know, try to work with Fields, who's much younger, try to evolve into that franchise quarterback?
Wow, that's a tough one. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
Or have you seen enough of Justin Fields to determine that he may never be that guy? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point.
All right, Rick, appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Here's another interesting – and normally this is – and I think it's already determined, to be honest, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. The Heisman Trophy, right? There's really two guys only to consider. I mean, according to the bookmakers, only one. That would be Travis Hunter, who's with Colorado, right? 93 catches. He plays both ways. He's on the field all the time. 93 catches, 1,200 yards almost in receiving, 15 touchdowns. He also – leads them with 4 interceptions on defense. But, okay, that's – and he's going to win it. But you got to give a lot of credit to Austin Gentry of Boise State and what he's been able to do, because you've never seen these kinds of numbers. He's a running back, 344 carries, almost 2,500 rushing yards in this season, 29 rushing touchdowns. He also has a couple of receiving touchdowns. I mean – on any other year, that would be the guy. He doesn't get enough publicity because of where he plays, but Travis Hunter's going to win it. But, man, that's a remarkable season. Back to the lines. We got Mike in Jacksonville. Mike, how are you today?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks.
I should have said afternoon. Anyway, quick question for you. Do you think that George Pickens' injury is real, or do you think this could be some kind of discipline, some kind of discipline move like they did back when they benched him, but they didn't call it a benching. They said they were watching his snaps. Thanks, and I'll hang up.
All right, thanks, Mike. No, I don't. I think it is. I think there's something that happened, and there's a hamstring. Now, again, they did away with the probable designation, so he's questionable, which means in another, like, today we would have found out if he's probable or something. He's still questionable, and we'll find out if they make any moves accordingly. But I think if he doesn't play, that's all of a sudden things get a little bit more interesting. Because I give the edge, if he doesn't play, to Cleveland's wide receivers. Moore has been really good for them. I think Jerry Jeudy has been outstanding for them. And I think Njoku at tight end has been very good for them as well. So, you know, they've had guys. Now, this will come down to pressure and how Jameis Winston responds to the pressure. And the Steelers have got to get it without the benefit of blitzing if they're not going to blitz. We'll see. Andy in Burgettstown is our next caller. Andy, hello. How are you?
Hey, Bob. I got an answer to your question. You asked about Belichick. My guess would be he would take the Carolina job because it's close to the NFL team in Charlotte, and he just – and then he wouldn't have to move as quick. Or it'd be like somebody taking the Georgia Tech job and hoping to get the Falcons job.
No, I think his motivation to get the North Carolina job is so he can make up a plan so that his son Steve gets the, you know, when he leaves, gets the head coaching job. He wants that to be the case. However, he's 72, and I say this even though he's a young 72, I think. He's dating 24-year-old girls, for goodness sakes. he wants that Shula record. I mean, I've heard him before talk about it in ways that make you know that he's thinking about it, but he's not. Maybe he's come to the realization that that won't happen for him. There are going to be tons of opening in the NFL. Think Bill Belichick would be qualified to be one of those guys? And of course he should be. I don't see him dealing with the nuance of NIL, trying to recruit guys, go to the transfer portal. I mean, that's just... it's a lot of extra work that I don't think, at least I don't look at him as willing to do it, but he may be.
Maybe you're right on that. He does it for his son, everything. His son gets the college job, and then he goes to, if the Panthers fire their coach, then he'd be coaching the Carolina Panthers near where his son lives at then.
Okay, well, I don't know. There's a lot of interviews going on. There's a lot of rumors that take part because of it, but I just, for the record, for me, I would be surprised. He may like TV a lot, too. You know, these guys make a lot of money doing these analytical jobs, and you have a big platform in the league when you do that. People want to hear what you have to say because he's Bill Belichick, just as Bill Cowher has a big voice in the game.
Right, that's true. I agree with you and everything. I'm just thinking if he got his hands on Bryce Young, maybe he'd do something with him or something.
Well, Bryce is, he's certainly better than he's been early in the season. He's come on a little bit, so we'll see what they do. Thanks for the call, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hope you have a nice holiday season. And that's Andy from Burgettstown. Right now, I want to tell you about our sponsors of the program, and I can't thank enough Rob Cochran and all those good people at Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7, expressway@cochran.com. They've been with me here since the beginning, and they've done our Number One Cochran Sports Showdown on TV for 25 years. And we'll have that show tomorrow at 11:35. It'll be interesting to see what happens with some of the responses there after this big game. Also, Shandorovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. And PNC Bank, make today the day, PNC. Open lines for you right now at 412-928-9370. We'll talk more about the Steelers and the Browns, your take on that. George Pickens, also Dan Campbell going for it repeatedly on fourth down, including one where he was already in field goal range and chose to go for it anyway, in an effort to keep the ball away from Green Bay. We'll talk about that. Penn State, Oregon, what's your take? Can Penn State make a run in the upcoming national championship? And for those of you who love golf like I do, I still keep an eye on things. They have the Hero Championship. It's only a 20-person field down at Albany Golf Club in the Bahamas, but these are all Tigers events, and you get all the big names. Scottie Scheffler, 64 yesterday, en route to 13 under par. What I like about Scottie Scheffler, Seth, he was interviewed about it, and I sincerely believe he feels this way. The money is not what drives him, never has, never will. He says, I play because I'm a competitive person. I want to win these things. I don't care what the money is. Of course, it helps to have the kind of money, but he's not one of those guys who's looking for it. He never was, apparently. So, but again, when you're making millions, I guess it doesn't really matter. You still want to win. Takes a lot of pressure off if you don't.
I agree. Yep.
All right, Seth is coming up with an update. We have more calls on the way at 412-928-9370. Bob Pompeiani with you here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We roll along here at 412-928-9370. Join us tomorrow morning for the BetMGM Steelers kickoff show, 11:30 a.m. We're live over at Acrisure Stadium getting set for the Steelers and Browns. The NFL Today will follow on CBS and KDK. Bill Cowher was in town. He did a long interview with Russell Wilson. That'll be part of that program. And then Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson and company bring you the game at 1, followed by 2 hours of postgame. Chris Hoke and I will take your calls. We'll have interviews, analysis, whatever. That's a full day on KDKA, and it continues until 11:35 at night for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. Right now, we're going out to the state of California. Guy joins us, as he always seems to do, and I love the fact that you keep calling. Guy, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Bob, or good afternoon. Beautiful weather out here. Hey, listen, I want to talk about the Penguins real quick, but before I do, talk about bad coaching decisions, being aggressive. The Steelers were a beneficiary of the bad coaching decision. If you remember, let's go back just a couple years. Brandon Staley was coach of the Chargers, and it was the last game of the season.
Oh, yeah.
So whichever team won, they would go to the playoffs along with the Steelers. But if they both tied, then they would the two tying teams would go, and the Steelers would have been eliminated. And Staley, with just, 30-some seconds left, decided to call a timeout, thinking he could stop the Raiders, and he would get the ball and then win. Well, the Raiders were very content just to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they were going to run out the clock because they had a new coach, Bisaccia. And the Chargers, Staley, decided, well, no, we'll call the time. Bisaccia said, forget it. They went for it. They scored the field goal. The Chargers were eliminated, and then the Steelers and the Raiders both mm-hmm. made the playoffs that year.
Well, I mean, it's a product of coaching. You're going to have to make 1,000 decisions in the course of a game. Every one of them are going to be micro-analyzed, so that's just the way it is. And you're right. I just – this Dan Campbell, as much as I really love what he's done in Detroit, there's no question. He'll be one of the contenders for Coach of the Year, deservedly so, but – he gets a little too aggressive for me sometimes, and I thought that game the other night showed that.
Well, yeah, I tend to go for I tend to go for the simple win and nothing too crazy. Anyways, real quick about the Penguins, I don't want to put too much time, but when you look at the Penguins' goal differential, -129. That's the worst in the league.
It's not good.
And when you even look at it last year, you know, 28 games played, Penguins now with 26 points. Last year, 28 games played, 29 points. Not much difference, but the goal differential is a big difference. This year, -29, last year, +9. And the only team comparable to them are the Predators, who have a -25. And the strange thing about the Predators, you can't blame the goalie because Soros has played well, and they – and the strange thing about the Predators, they got two 40-goal scorers this year in both Stamkos and Marchessault. It's the defensive scheme in the Predators' case, and you follow the Penguins a lot closer to me. But once again, you know, the games I have been able to see of the Penguins, it just seems like the defense just it's porous.
And we saw even last night, and Guy, thank you for the call. I always appreciate it. We saw last night that, you know, right after they scored a goal, they gave up a great chance. And then a minute later, they gave up an equalizer goal. You know, they do that a lot. There was a power play in which they had a 2-on-1 for New York shorthanded, and it was Zibanejad and Kreider. You don't give those up if you have the man advantage. And if it happens once, okay, but it's become a repeated pattern in that regard. So those are little sloppy things that I think do matter. And we see it too much for them. And it's just a team effort that way. You know, you don't get to a -120, whatever the goal differential is, because it's just goaltending. It's multiple facets of your defensive game. And I think that's what Mike Sullivan's been trying to, you know, try to change. And they did it okay, that 4-game win streak last night. They got back to some bad habits, I thought, and they need to not do that tonight against Toronto, a very good team. Randy in Mount Pleasant is on the fan right now. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Bob, I really enjoy your analysis of sports.
Thank you.
You're really good at it. I have a question. I want your analysis on this. Couldn't the Pirates kept Chapman? Well,
sure.
I don't understand. He only signed a 1-year deal with Boston. I didn't catch how much it was.
Basically same as last year. Same as what they paid him, 10.7.
Well, wouldn't the Pirates offered a few more million for a class closer like him? He still could throw about 102 miles an hour. I don't understand this team.
Well, especially with David Bednar, and you know, last year was a little up and down for me, and I want to see more from him. But as many, you know, Chapman in the middle of part of the year last year was almost unhittable. Now, he has some issue problems with walks, but who doesn't sometimes?
Well, yeah, it's control sometimes. But he came in, he ended up with 15 saves. I can't understand why you wouldn't build with this a solid veteran like him. And I think Bednar, them closers, they come off and on. They go through bad spots. I don't know why. And like a lot of these classic kickers, you see the dude from Baltimore. A few years back, remember the Green Bay kicker that was excellent? He's not there anymore.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Tucker, they all go through it. Boswell went through it when he was here. That one year, they weren't sure.
And that Green Bay kicker, and then next year he was brilliant. So I don't understand. I've been falling apart since 9 years old, 1966. You know, I'm a diehard Pirate fan. I like radio because I listen to 93.7 The Fan, by the way. But I like radio listening to baseball. There's something about listening to radio on baseball. Baseball on radio, excuse me. But I can't understand this owner. Why do you think they didn't keep him? He's only 36.
Well, the only thing I can think of, and I'm not going to excuse it because it was a similar price, but thanks for the call, Randy. I think it's if they're going to put money in offense, which they need to do, they have a very, very promising young starting pitching staff. But you also need guys to close out games. I mean, last year they were talking about get their starters to the sixth inning and let the bullpen take over. All right. Well, these starters are capable of going longer than that this year with some of the young guys they have, led by Skeens, but not just him. Jared Jones looks like he's going to be a keeper for sure. Mitch Keller has the experience. He's also signed. And then you have, you know, if Bubba Chandler comes up and does what he's capable of doing, along with Oviedo and Ortiz, you got a really good, deep starting pitching staff. Get some offense. They have to go out and spend money. I want to see spend. If Oakland can spend $67 million on 1 year, on a 3 year deal for Severino, why can't the Pirates do it? You got to do it. You have a window. The window's open now. Bob Dunning should know that. They all should know that. So go out and get as many bats as you can. Let's go out to Al in Uniontown. Al, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Bob. How are you?
Good. What's up?
About the Steelers, you know, we got 5 games left, and that's an eternity in the NFL. But say they do say they win a division and they win a playoff game. Now let's look to the future. Can they afford to sign Russell Wilson and Pickens, or do you move on from Pickens, or do you franchise tag one of them? What do you think?
Well, first of all, with regard to Russell Wilson, it takes two to tango here. He has to now determine, and his agent will get involved in this. I think he really likes it here. I think he likes what Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith do in offense. I think he feels like he has a home where maybe in Denver that wasn't the case, and it deteriorated pretty quickly. But he is 36, going to be 37 in the middle of next year. So you have to ask yourself, how much do I want to invest in this guy and how many years? This is not just your typical, oh, we'll give him 5 years or whatever. No. You need a quarterback. He's shown good. Now, I want to see more. I want to see down the stretch in the playoffs before I make a determination. But if they decide to go, if they decide to give him, let's say, 3 years at $100 million, Is that good enough for him? He's made enough money. His wife makes money, too. So I don't know that money is the overriding issue. But can the Steelers want to have you know, he'll be 40 at one point, too, when they have him given the kind of money. Do they want to do that, or would they rather go and put money in a younger player like Justin Fields? Both of them will not be back next year at the same time.
Right. Well, I guess my point is, like, I believe there's somewhere around they would be around $51 million under the cap. So where does that land Pickens? And would you move on from him? Because I believe he came out in the same class with Higgins. Or do you go and sign a wide receiver in the first round?
If you're asking me personally, Al, thanks for the call. This is how I would answer that. I like George Pickens' talent. I know he has some other issues that need to be resolved, but I'm going to go with talent. I always go with talent. I think talent wins. He has to understand that role, and he has to understand, and I hope he does. If he doesn't, he's going to hurt himself. If you want to invest in a talented wide receiver who I think has shown you the ability, he could be elite, then I'm going to put money in his pocket. I hope he understands that he has to show me a lot more here moving forward, not just in receptions and big game situations, because he is so talented. But just not get sucked into situations that are hurtful to the team. So right now, I want to see him signed here, if at all possible. 412-928-9370. We're going to take a break. Come back more here. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back as we continue here. Our show brought to you by Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. IrelandContracting.com. PNC Bank. Also, make today the day for PNC Bank and check out their virtual wallet. Makes your financial world a little easier to navigate through. Got a lot of interesting tweets here today. One of them is about Penn State, and I put out there that Penn State and Oregon will play tonight. That's 8 o'clock. You'll see it on KDK TV, so we have that game. Pens, 412 says, the easiest money line of all. Penn State will never win a huge game. Put everything you own on Oregon. Well, first of all, Oregon is talented. There's no question. But the line is rather interesting at 3.5. Penn State has what it takes. I think they've been more aggressive offensively than we've seen them over the years. This is a matchup that you don't see very often. Now that they're in the same conference, you will see it more often. But I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know if they're going to win. I think if they do, they're in a very nice position to get a week off before they engage. Now, they won't get a home game because only the first round is the site of the some of these campus sites. But then after that, it goes to regular bowl games. B-Bo on Twitter, at KD Pomp, says, why wouldn't baseball consider something that would help pitchers, save time, and still not change the game that much? A foul ball should always be a strike always. Three strikes, you're out. So if you foul off a pitch with two strikes, you're out. Not long at bats and not many wasted pitches. You know, Bo, again, that's, to me, that's a little drastic. When you're trying to make an at-bat count and you work, you may get a great pitch that you somehow stay alive. I'm not going to change that. I think what this golden at-bat has done is made people think of all these different kind of things that really are more gimmicky than anything else. And some will say the baseball needs it, that it's too dull of a sport, that it's you know, it's not trending younger people. And that's fine. But again, I think attention spans have become part of social media. People are not interested in long outcomes of anything. They don't want to read long pieces, you know, in journalism coverage. They want quick hitters. Give me a headline what it is. But you can't use that as a reason to change crazily into these sporting things, whether or not you're looking for a golden at-bat, something in the bottom of the ninth that could be played over and over again, or something like he's suggesting here, well, if you foul off a pitch on and it's 1-2 and you're done. I just, that's too much for me. I'm not going to do that at 412-928-9370. No Unity Pain says, I'll be rooting for Penn State, but they never win big games. I'm prepared for a duck blowout. I don't think you'll see a duck blowout. You may get a duck win, but I don't think you're getting a duck blowout there. We'll see how that goes. But I appreciate all the people who've gotten in, you know, whether it's calls, whether it's tweets. I do appreciate that. So I'll be on Monday with Joe. We'll talk about what happens tomorrow in that big game coming up. I want to remind you, not only do we have Penn State Oregon coming up tonight at 8 o'clock on KDKA, busy day all day tomorrow on KDKA with a pregame, postgame, and then the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. Don't forget about the sports call every night at 10:35. But we also will have the Christmas Day game. For those of you, and I got this here from someone on Twitter who says, MSQB, I don't want to watch Netflix, too much buffering. Where is that game going to be? And I said to people, and I will continue to say, we have it on KDK. We will not have buffering issues. We get the direct feed. We're not going to have that. We will have the game against the Kansas City Chiefs with pre- and post-game coverage of that game all day on KDK. So you're sitting around eating your food, having a couple of beverages, opening your presents. You also get to watch what could be the game of the year if it means number one seed in the AFC. So that's all coming at you on KDK TV. In the meantime, I want to thank all the people there who called today and texted today and tweeted today. Thank you very much. Seth, thank you for being here. Joel Nelson before him. And a thank you to our sponsors at Number One Cochran, Shop 24/7, Expressways, Cochran.com. Also, PNC Bank, make today the day. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, where they've got your back, not your wallet. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. And as I said earlier, it's cold out there. If you want to get some golf swings in, go to 9 Yards Golf Lounge in Washington, PA. It's a great place with some of the most advanced technology. It's a great place to hang with your friends and improve your golf game and play any course you want to play at 9 Yards Golf Lounge. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me. Want to give you the weather, though, because it's getting better. It's improving, actually. It's brought to you by Sun Chevy. You could check out 0% financing all 24 Chevy EV models up to 60 months through January the 3rd. Today, high of 37, got a mix of clouds and sun. Tonight, not as cold, low of 34, and temperatures tomorrow will start in the 40s, and that by kickoff, approach 50 degrees for the Steelers and the Browns on a game day at Acrisure Stadium. That's going to do it for us. Thanks again to Seth, to Joel, and most of all, thank you guys for listening over the years. I really do appreciate it. We'll continue to do it and exchange conversations and debate and everything else as we move along. But that's going to do it. Coming up today at 1:30, it's Pitt pregame. The Panthers in their first ACC game against Virginia Tech, coming off a blowout loss at Mississippi State. They want to get back on the schneid after some big wins for them, including one at Ohio State. They'll take on Virginia Tech. You'll hear it right here on your home for Panther Sports. It's 93.7 The Fan. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Bob Pompiani. We'll see you this week on the Pomp and Joe Show. Until then, have a great day.